Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. While living in Corinth, Paul plied his trade of tent making and taught in the local synagogue. Through his efforts, a church was born that later received two epistles we still read in the New Testament. Today, the gospel's power extends further into ancient Greece. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. We're in Acts chapter 18, witnessing what happens when the light shines in Corinth.
What God does is he opens the minds and the hearts of people so that they see their sin, so they see their need, so they see that Jesus is the answer to their need and gives them the ability to believe. So salvation is entirely of God. And that's why God could say, I have many people in this city. They haven't believed yet, but they're mine. They're mine. Let me give you an illustration. When we were on the cruise, we stopped in Philippi. I'd never been to Philippi before, and I was so nicely surprised. You go through the Agora, or the Agora, depending on where you put the emphasis. And it was sort of the center of town. And we know that the Apostle Paul was there. In fact, you can actually see the dungeon where possibly he and Silas were imprisoned. But also, you go by the river, because it says in Acts 16 that when Paul came there, there was no synagogue, and people went to the river to pray, and that's where there was a woman, and she was a seller of purple, and her name was Lydia, and it says she was a woman whose heart the Lord opened. Isn't that beautiful? And she believed the gospel, and she was baptized there, and we went to the river approximately where she was baptized, and we had a communion service there. What a wonderful experience. But that's really the gospel. It is those whom the Lord opens. I'm preaching now to many people right here in the sanctuary of the Moody Church, and then, of course, on the internet, because we stream live all over the world, we have people who have tuned in. Eventually, this message is going to be on the radio, and tens of thousands of people will hear it. But what I want to say is this, that we must understand that there are some people who will hear the gospel and it will just blow past them. There are other people who are going to pause to listen and to say, you know, there might be something there that I need. And they may not yet belong to God right now, but they will belong to God because God says, I already have them as my people. And God will overcome their blindness. He'll show them the beauty of the gospel, and they'll come to saving faith. And that's why I have faith in the gospel, is because when the gospel is preached, God works. Now, another long story, but when the church loses that, what you find is manipulation oftentimes. What you find is decisionism, where you try to get people to simply pray a prayer and think that the prayer itself is going to do it, even if God hasn't worked in their heart, if we can just get them to pray. And that can be an error. And that can lead to a kind of shallowness in our understanding of the gospel. So the Apostle Paul here, he has a vision, and the Lord encourages him and says, hang in, Paul, because I have many people in this city. There's a third truth that we need to come to grips with, and it's maybe the biggie in terms of our future. First of all, a message that transforms, a sovereign God who actually saves. And then third, what you have is opposition that purifies. Opposition that purifies. Now, I'm going to read the text here. You'll notice it says in verse 12, but when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal. The Greek word is bema. Now, when you go to Corinth today, you can actually see the bema. I asked the guide, I said, is there any evidence of a synagogue where the Apostle Paul preached and where he reasoned? No, there's no evidence of the synagogue. There's a house that was next to the synagogue. We don't know where that is. Maybe archaeologists will still uncover it because a great deal of Corinth has not yet been excavated. But you can go to the Bema, and it even has a sign on it that says Bema, judgment seat. This is the place where all of the affairs of the city were adjudicated. And so Paul is brought there, and they accuse him and say, this man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. Now, Christians have faced opposition to their faith. First of all, an opposition from culture, peer pressure, culture that does not want to hear about Christ or the gospel. Secondly, the church has faced a great deal of opposition also from legal laws, laws that are made to hinder the proclamation of the Christian gospel. That's another long story. Certainly that is true in many of the countries of the world. And this past week, a hate crimes bill was slipped into an appropriations bill in Washington, and I understand that it passed. I didn't have an opportunity to read the wording, so I will not comment on it, except to say that in other countries, it has certainly stifled freedom of speech, such as in Canada. I said to a Canadian pastor one day, are you still able to preach Romans chapter 1 in churches in Canada? And he said, well, it depends who's in the audience, and it depends who you are preaching it to or who comes to hear it. And I could tell you stories about that, but again, we must hurry on. Now, in this instance, the Apostle Paul got by, because when this happened, you'll notice that Gallio really defended Paul. It says, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or a vicious crime, then I'd enter into this, but because it isn't, it's questions about words and doctrine and law, see to it yourselves. And he drove them from the tribunal. And then they took Sosthenes, who is also one of the rulers of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio, he didn't pay any attention to this. So basically, the Apostle Paul got off. He was able to be there. He stayed many days longer. There was no imprisonment, no serious opposition. But we in America need to think through this business of opposition, because we're not used to it. We've always had government policies that kind of favored Christianity, or at least supported it, or at least didn't work against it. And now we can't count on that as we used to in the past. And that's been a long time in coming, not just in recent years or months. But I think Bonhoeffer was right, who himself died at the age of 39 in Flossburg when he was hung. Bonhoeffer said that the church will never be strong unless it sees suffering as a gift. And he based that on Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, where it says, unto you it is given on behalf of Christ to believe on him. We love that. Oh, I love to believe on Jesus. It's given to me to believe on Jesus. But the rest of the verse says, and to suffer for his name. Bonhoeffer says both parts of those verse applies to the church. And so we need to see suffering, and we need to welcome it as an opportunity to prove God's faithfulness in the midst of a country that needs to hear the gospel so desperately. Whatever you may encounter at work, whatever you may go through because you're an honest person, rejoice, Jesus said. And this is where we need a whole mindset that changes our minds, because most of the times we complain or we are fearful of what's going to happen. Jesus kept saying, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because that's the way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That is part of our calling. And it may be part of our calling as a church collectively. It may be part of our calling as individuals also. Not only to believe in Jesus, but to suffer for his name. Suffering purifies the church. 20 years ago, I was in China. Makes me old to say that that was 20 years ago. But I remember being with Bishop Ding, who was the head of the Three Self Movement in China. The Three Self Movement is the official church in China that's recognized by the government. And we were with him for several days, the group that I was with, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, "If you go through the length and breadth of China, you will find Christians who believe like you do," he said. And then, please get this, he said, "Persecution wiped out theological liberalism in China." And I thought, thank you very much. What person who denies the virgin birth, what person who denies that Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice for sinners, or the person who denies that he's the only way to the Father, what person is going to want to die on behalf of Jesus if he believes that? Nobody. But it's the true church that endured in China. Persecution purifies. Purifies our faith, it purifies our theology. We finally begin to understand what it is that we really do believe. And Jesus said, it's your gift that comes along with the gospel. So rejoice. Oh, yes, I know it is sometimes very difficult to rejoice when we are persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Lutzer. You know, Jesus made a remarkable statement. But first of all, before I give it to you, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever suffered because you are a Christian? Have you ever been marginalized at work or perhaps even evil spoken about? Could it be that your children are teased at school or maybe even bullied because they belong to Jesus Christ? Have you gone through an experience like that? Well, let me now give you the words of Jesus. "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." And Jesus goes on to say that your reward will be great. Here at the Moody Church, I met someone who said that they were actually relieved of their job because of their honesty. They wouldn't cheat. And I said to them, "Have you rejoiced?" And then I quoted the words that I just mentioned to you. Jesus said, "Blessed are you," and remember this, these are strong words, "blessed are you when men cast out your name as evil." So rather than us being so discouraged when we experience some persecution, when we go through some trial because of Jesus and our witness, let us rather take the opportunity to rejoice and to remind ourselves that throughout history, God's people have always gone through the fiery furnace. They have always been evil spoken about, killed, marginalized, threatened. We as Americans forget that that's the way it is in many parts of the world. And certainly we have many examples of this in Scripture. So be encouraged today, my friend. Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, for when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's our hope. That's the way I hope you live today, and God bless you.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Light Shines in Corinth, another message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time, more on the seven churches of Revelation and why they no longer exist, wiped out by the enemies of the gospel. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.